Yep, here we are once again. Welcome to Binary Jazz. It's a podcast. I'm here as per usual with my friends, Gary and Allison. That's Binary Gary, and or over there probably, and Allison Plus. We are recording on a Friday. It's St. Patrick's Day, if that
recording
matters.
Recording on a computer.
When you're both wearing green, I have a green pen. I don't know if that counts.
You have to like hook it into your shirt to officially qualify as.
I think it's silly, but also, you know, I'd rather just not have the social interactions that come from not wearing green today, and I had to be on other calls. For this only call, I would have given no thought to my wardrobe.
I didn't even think.
Not that I don't think of you, but I think that you people would less.
We're not gonna pinch you.
Yeah, I mean,
probably not for that.
We can't really, pinch you, Gary. But I did think about it last night, and I pulled
pinching
out.
Me?
No, my wardrobe for the day, and I pulled out the single green article of clothing that I have.
I bathed this morning.
Good.
And then I went to get dressed and was like, oh, should find something with green on it. And this was the first one. So this is what we got.
I mostly own black clothing. I didn't think about it at all. And that's why I have my green pen.
Feels a little dingy, honestly. I think it's just the age of the shirt. It's the material's good, so it's not wearing out. But also, like, the collar's a little, and it looks a little dingy and whatever. No one cares.
What does one do on St. Patrick's Day that's not, like, drinking Guinness?
Well, we do a fun thing here where I should be quiet in case the kid's listening.
Oh, are you going to talk about, the leprechauns making a big mess?
They didn't make a big mess. They turned the milk green.
Oh, okay.
They left some candy coins. That's it. And and a cake pop for each kid.
Delicious. So.
The milk is funny because it's like you open the fridge and the milk
headphones
is
on, and we're all whispering.
Yeah, Garrett, there's no risk of us being heard.
I was just like, I don't know who I'm whispering for on my end.
I appreciate the solidarity though. But yeah, you open the fridge and the milk is green, and it's like,
that's
I said
cool.
to Charlotte, I said, do you think a leprechaun peed in it? And she's like, no, they just use food coloring.
No, Dad.
Okay.
I don't know. You could, if you have like Irish ancestry, you could talk about your ancestors.
I don't know anything about them, though. I know that. I know that.
You can
I
make
do
a green milkshake. That's always feels like a classic.
I know that I do have Irish ancestry, but I don't know anything about it. I mean, I only know
would
that really because the name
Irish,
Reynolds is Irish.
I knew something
I think
about my ancestry.
Would I say what now?
Irish, I knew something about my
Irish,
ancestry.
Yeah, Irish, I did know
That's
something.
So dumb. It's so dumb. I think that works better as a joke when you read it as opposed to saying it because, yeah. She goes had a terrible greeting card.
I asked the Bing chatbot what I should do. And it said, go on a virtual tour of Ireland, go to a parade, drink Guinness was on the list. Yeah.
Of course, famous for driving all the snakes out of Ireland. So I set my emoji status at work to be a snake today. Since I am not in Ireland.
Because you're not in Ireland.
You could have Irish soda bread. You could.
Mm. Yeah, there's lots of food related things, I suppose. Yeah.
Like potatoes, I feel like.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like do we have an Irish food? And Aaron's like, sure. And I'm like, so what? Potatoes?
Just like various forms of potatoes.
I once upon a time when I was a runner, I did a half marathon with a friend, and he, you know those like potato sacks? You can microwave a potato. So you microwave a potato and then wrapped it in like a bunch of aluminum foil. And he was like, it'll keep my hands warm before we start. And then once you get running, I can eat it. So I thought that was weird, but it's what he did.
It's you know why you thought it was weird? It's because it is weird.
Okay, well, that's helpful.
I have never come across that, and I also.
But like we're standing at the starting line, everyone's wearing like a layer that they're gonna like you know, dump when they, once they get moving, and generally all those get picked up and donated, which is cool. And he's out there in just his, you know, short sleeve shirt with his potato, keeping his hands warm. And then we started running and he starts peeling.
Like, it's also hard to eat and run like that.
Yeah, that's not the easiest finger food.
Well, the nice thing about it is you can bite off of it. Like, it's and it stays in one piece. It's not like biting a something crispy. It's going to like shed food everywhere. And
but it's like hearty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a long race. It was like, I think it was a half marathon, so 13 miles. So he had plenty of time to eat it. When I would run distances that I needed to eat on, I would take, for a while, I didn't do this very long because it got gross. I would take raisins with me, like a box of raisins. But if it's in your pocket and you get sweaty, well, now you have like swollen, salty raisins, which are not the best thing in the world.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And now that I said it, it sounded grosser.
That's than disgusting.
My experience. And I wish I hadn't said it. So,
yeah, because
that's probably one way not to make friends.
To dramatize.
Swollen, salty raisins.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Raisins are dehydrated grapes, right?
Yes.
So you are rehydrating the grapes with your own sweat, which is really gross, and then eating it.
Well, yes. Yes, that's all true. All of it is true. I'm not arguing with any of it.
Sometimes we just have to live with the mistakes that we make along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that we're recording it, so it'll be set in perpetuity.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's there forever.
Yep. When in several hundred years, this is the only remaining proof that podcasts ever exist, and this episode is what they're referring to. Did that ant just crawl into the footstool?
Oh, I don't like where this story is going one bit. Right?
This is an episode of X-Files, isn't it?
This is when you lift up the cushion and there's an entire nest of ants.
I have a reminder that I set earlier this week, I suppose. Was it? Yeah, it was earlier this week on Monday.
It doesn't matter for the people that are listening several hundred years.
It doesn't.
Years,
you know. Yeah, it really doesn't. But I have a reminder that the topic today might be how to meet people as a grown-up, because it came up.
I wanted to make sure that
we came back to it. If we didn't have anything else better to talk about, that this could be a topic of discussion. And yes, definitely the on the list of how not to meet people and make friends as a grown-up is telling stories about
or offering them. Would you like some swollen, salty
raisins?
Oh, my sister-in-law hates raisins. She's diabetic, so growing up that was like her special treat. It was like, you can have raisins. So now she's like, F that. I don't want raisins in anything. I'm so over raisins. So I get it.
That makes sense. The backstory makes sense.
Yeah. So with this topic, and when the reminder came up, I said in our Slack, I don't have any answers, but I have theories. So I'm happy to dig into those.
Yeah, I have some theories too that I have not tested.
I don't even mean like testable theories. I think I even mean like zoomed out a layer. So I think the fact that we're having this conversation is indicative of just the ebb and flow of fear and trust of neighbor that just happens as part of the human condition. And I think the current media environment has contributed over the last decade plus of more and more fear of neighbor. And I think we're past the bottom and coming back the other way. And I think the expectation should be over the next decade that we are going to identify that we as humans are in fact pack animals. And there are going to be more and more opportunities to be like, what about IRL? And that's going to start being a thing that happens more and more. So this, like, how do we make friends thing is going to become less and less, because there's going to be natural opportunities for it to take place. That's my theory.
So
I don't disagree with your theory, but it does require me leaving the house.
And I think that there will be compelling reasons to do that, that as the ebb and flow comes, there will be compelling reasons to do that that are natural and not forced. There's going to be your people, your tribe is going to have something, and you're going to be like, oh, that actually seems like it's worth leaving the house for, whatever that thing is.
Right.
And And that's going to click. And when that hits, it's going to be like, I didn't know I needed this in my life, but I'm glad it's here.
Yeah, so my theory has always been, well, like, if I desired to venture into the world and leave the house, there's, you know, any number of TTRPGs happening in person in various places. And I'm on a couple of different Discords that are local. One of them is more active than the other. I know that there's a bookstore that's specifically a fantasy and science fiction bookstore that hosts a game night. There's like game stores and stuff. So there's a lot of opportunities for me personally to get out there and meet people if I wanted to, and even find games that would click with me as opposed to just like whatever the thing that's available is, like the one thing, you know. There's opportunities to, sure, that too.
No, I'm just saying that's the thing that's available, at least around here. We go to a game store, we play Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. Yeah, so our game store, our local game stores, plural, have that, but they also have other things too. Some of them are maybe a little bit of a drive away, but still, like, there's stuff. So I always feel like if I wished to, there's that avenue available, and I've been thinking about that more as I've been thinking about, like, you know, the current group is largely the kids' friends. The kids are going to be potentially, you know, off doing things next year. We have at least one player who's going to go off to Colorado next year to go to college. You know, my kids are going to be, like, my daughter's going to be maybe entering into an actual high school, and my son is going to be taking classes at community college, and we don't know what those schedules are going to be like. The scheduling is at least going to be a thing. So, like, I'm thinking about, like, you know, what a post this year campaign would look like, and maybe it looks like not having it, or maybe it looks like, you know, a couple people from this group jump onto something else elsewhere or something. So I've been thinking more about, like, you know, just keeping my eye on, like, opportunities that are out there, because I do think that if I didn't have that one thing, that even if I'm running a game with, you know, a bunch of teenagers, it's still a thing that it's interacting with other human beings. And occasionally there's another parent besides Aaron. And that's cool too. And there would be a distinct, like, emptiness if there wasn't anything filling that space.
Yeah. Like, you would need some substitute of whatever that looks like. So now it's a question of what will it look like? It could morph into a bunch of different stuff. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, I'm okay at leaving the house generally, when the moment strikes, when there's something that's like purposeful to go out there for. Like, I'm like, oh, I've taken roller skating classes. I've, what else have I done? I went to this like little mini arts conference in my town. I've gone to like various things, but like, it's difficult when you're in also like the land of retirees, because I'm like, oh, all these people are great. All these people are in their 70s and 80s, which is great. And I don't mind making friends with them, but I'm like, oh, I would like some like
peers.
I'm not particularly young.
Yeah.
So I would like that like middle of the road friendship level peer group.
I have two young developers on my team. Like in their 20s. I can't believe that's young, but that's young. And it is just so funny the things I notice, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that kind of like, maybe not ambition, but that like blind drive or like tenacity, maybe is another word, stick-to-itiveness.
Well, it's a kind of like, it's a different kind of energy.
It is.
That yeah, goes and I'm away like, as you get older.
I'm like, like, I have conversations with them, like, maybe we can solve this a different way. Like, maybe it doesn't have to be code. Like, there's something about like maturity that you're like, you know, like I don't actually have to be the person that solves it. Like, I can, maybe this can be handled a different way. And maybe it's just like I'm lazy and I don't want to write code. I'm like, maybe someone else can do this. That part's not true. I mean, that's a little bit true. I don't know. So it's interesting to see that and see myself in that, and like also like, well, all right, I'm getting old.
Do you, Do you remember when you were younger and people were like, oh, you don't have the perspective I have, like when grownups were like, you don't have the perspective that I have, wait until you're older, you'll understand, and like all that. And now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, I do kind of understand. That's really annoying.
I distinctly remember that in like my teenage years. In early career, I remember it a little, but I also remember seeing it as like, I at least had a relationship and it'd be like, can you explain that more? And them explaining it and maybe not getting it, but at least recognizing that we did have different realities and maybe their years of experience had something to say that I didn't quite understand yet. I didn't understand it for sure. And I guess I'm curious what that looks like. And, you know, hopefully I have any more years to experience that, but I'm curious what that looks like going forward, like long-term, you know, in my 50s and 60s, will I look back and be like, oh, I was so blank in my 40s, you know, like that'll be really fascinating.
I don't know. I remember talking to my granny about it when she was in her 90s and like, man, you just don't really care about anything. And when she hit 100, it was just like, why? Like, not that she didn't care about anything, but there was just a certain like Buddhist unattachment style.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think being like, this is all temporary. Like, I've made it this far. And,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, everybody. I think you need to be if you're 100, or I think you need to be when you're staring death in the face in general, because if you're not able to be detached, then you're going to be miserable. And there's no point in spending your days miserable because you're afraid of, you know, the end. If you're close to the end, like that's something that like I've sort of observed in my father-in-law as he has, you know, had to come to grips with you know, his cancer and that it's not going away. And you know, like if you don't accept that, if you fight that, then you're just, it's,
you spend
just
a lot of energy
miserable. Yeah,
for nothing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So the only thing you can do is, you know, be grateful for what you've got now, be grateful for, you know, being able to do things that you can do today, and because maybe tomorrow, you know, that'll be the last tomorrow, you know, you don't know.
Before this call, it's
a lot harder for the rest of us.
Before this call, I had a call every month or so with an old strategist. Well, not old, a strategist friend I used to work with at Tribe. And we set up these calls like when he left Tribe, he left before I did. And we just like once a month, we'll chat. And some months we skip because it's busy and whatever. So we probably talk realistically 6 to 8 times a year. When we set up these calls initially, it was just like, let's just keep in touch. Like, who knows where it goes? And it has turned into like a lot of personal philosophy. It's really fascinating just how it's sort of ebbed and flowed that way. Because I think at the same time, we were struggling with some similar things about like, you know, what does it mean to be, you know, whatever, a parent? What does it mean to be, a professional in this industry? What does it mean to be an employee versus a contractor versus an owner, and all these odds and ends? And anyway, I'm totally killing this part. On this call previously, like less than an hour ago, we were talking about the concept of personal, like self-discipline, and what does that look like? You know, and it looks different as you age. And so one of the things that I've found recently for me is like, a focal point for me is like, well, what are you doing this for? And the answer is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So that's a big word I hang a lot on when I'm making decisions about things. It's about tomorrow. Like, and we even talked about, you know, like going on like team trips and like deciding like, I'm not going to stay up until 3 a.m. and drink, right? I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock or something, you know, and the conversation like, well, you don't want to, you know, hang out and socialize. Well, no, I've got a big day tomorrow. Like, what do you have going on? Like, my life, like that there's, you know, there's like that thing there, and hanging that on it, a different, like, framing it a different way. So the concept of like, you know, tomorrow, like, yeah, maybe not, but it does serve like a great motivator for me at the moment, at least in forms of deciding what the right thing to do is. effort wise and very much in the professional vein, not like in the personal vein.
Yeah.
I think that Allison to the original sort of, I think in inspiration for the question, you're in a very interesting situation because you're on an island. An island has a limited population, and it's, and also, like, it sounds like a lot of that population is not of a demographic that you necessarily are part of. So, like, not only, so there's like inherent challenges in your specific situation that make it even like that introduce new hurdles to an already complicated question of like, how do we make friends as adult humans who aren't in school anymore?
Yeah.
I mean,
so much so that now I might be going back to school. And I'm like, right. Is this just because I'm making friends? I mean, to make friends?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, and to that point, like, part of the motivation for my daughter to going back into an actual school is because we have struggled to find peers that are her age, that are girls in the unschooling social circles that we have been, and that's been like an ongoing thing, and she just, and like we've tried like other sorts of things, like extracurricular sort of stuff and whatever, and like, you know, get her involved in other things, but a lot, like, she does aerials, but a lot, she's the youngest person at the aerial studio. I mean, there's a couple other teenage girls, but they're not in the same classes, and it's not like a hangout thing, and it's, you know,
well, when it's already such a small, like, a small niche,
right,
it's just like, again, to go back to my granny, when she was at the retirement home she was living at, she's just like, I don't know why everybody expects us to be friends just because we're all old. Like,
I love that.
Yeah. Like, she's like, we've all lived different lives, you know? And I'm like, okay, valid. But I always think of that because I'm just like, just because someone's in the same age range doesn't necessarily mean you're going to find that overlap. I mean, it's helpful.
Yes. Yes.
But like,
and that's the thing that we found too, like, like, she's been doing this drama thing, and there are, you know, some girls, a lot of them are younger than her. I think most of them are. And there's some people that she's made like sort of a little bit, maybe deeper than surface level connections with, but it's not like friends, and nobody's asking for anyone's phone numbers or anything.
Yeah. It's more just like acquaintancy, like we're on fine terms and this is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. but it's very much that thing of, you know, just because we're all in the same room together, or just because we're all the same age or whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean we're friends.
I had, I had the occasion, like a week and a half ago to be at a funeral for someone that was sort of a pillar in the community around here, did a lot of volunteering and stuff. And so at the funeral, the priest was talking about, she had been having conversations with this person's friends, the lady that died. It was somewhat sudden and unexpected. Although she was in her low 70s, she wasn't unhealthy, and she was, you know, very independent. So this was a somewhat of a shock. One of the friends that the priest had talked to had recounted a conversation they had just had on the phone, like, you know, a couple weeks prior to her passing. And it was, the woman that died had said to this friend, on the topic of moving, like, well, you can't move. We just started this friendship and I'm not ready for it to end yet. Mm. And I thought that was like a very beautiful thing at the time. And of course, like, that's why you would include it in a eulogy or whatever, right? But it kind of struck me, like, or strikes me now, thinking about the nature of friendships and speaking of friendships even as we age, that I think that maybe that's some perspective that we can take from older folks, is that, like, I've decided we're going to be friends, and that's that. Like, we're going to, you know, like.
Do either of you have friends that you are still in touch with that from high school or earlier or college or whatever?
One person, but yes. Yeah.
Well, a few people, but my situation, I went to like a boarding school, so I feel like
that's different. Yeah,
it was a little more like intense. Throwing us into the deep end. Yeah. I think
because I part of this I've just sort of generally blamed on moving a lot when I was like before high school. Like, I don't have any friendships from prior to high school, and everyone that I went to high school with, that I was friends with, and that I have any amount of connection with now. It's like Facebook friend level. Like there's like one person, maybe, who, if we were in the same city at the same time, we might go to coffee. Mm-hmm. But like, otherwise, like, it's not like I'm in touch with any of them outside of,
I
like,
think about people I knew in high school and note that in any of those relationships, they put as much effort as I did to keep it going. So I don't have any longstanding friendships from high school and sort of don't care. So if you're listening, you knew me from high school, whatever. The one person I do know from around that time, though, is my friend Evan, who lives in Tampa. And we've, you know, it's sort of ebbed and flows through the years. There's some times where we talk maybe 3 or 4 times in a year. And then there was times where we talk like daily. And, you know, it just kind of depends on what's going on in the world and our lives and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. And I don't have any real, like, I don't have very many connections from college that I'm actually actively in touch with either. Like, it's basically like everyone who I would consider to be a friend is somebody who I've met through work, and maybe I don't work with them anymore. But those are the people that I'm in touch with more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like y'all and you know, some people at Human Made.
Let's not rewrite history, though. I started working with you and you quit that job.
That's true. In that order, exactly.
Like, yeah, I started.
And we started working together, and then I was just gone.
Yeah, not doing it. Yeah.
Let's be real, though, Gary. I had 1 foot out the door when you joined.
That just
one final shove was all it took.
Yeah.
Yep. Just like, oh yeah, I've made the right choice. So. I had a very interesting career path because I have this like distinct, like, I spent like a decade-ish in the import world and other weird stuff.
No before. Business, Gary. Who is he?
It wasn't, though. That's the thing, is it was business. Okay. It was really just like raw capitalist. It's gross.
Weirder, though. It's just like this alternate timeline version of who I know you to be.
But this Gary wouldn't exist without that Gary.
Of course.
That Gary needed to exist and die for this Gary to be. Like,
I mean, I started
so watch this show, the sci-fi show.
I started cool. my career in web development by doing technical support, you know, and then quitting that and saying, well, this thing that I used to do as a hobby, maybe I could make money doing it.
It was hobby for me, and it was I mean, I've probably shared it before, but I think it's worth sharing again. I was very close to my family, both, you know, relationship wise, but also like less than 3 miles from my parents is where I lived. With my parents, my grandma and uncle lived. And my grandmother died suddenly December 23rd. And I came home early from work, which was a rarity. And then sometime later on in January, I was kind of reanalyzing my relationship with work, working too many hours a week. And I came home early, and my son at the time said to me, oh no, who died? And that was like this great wake up for me. Like,
somebody has to die for you to get home soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was part of the transition. That was 6 months after my nephew died, my grandmother died. And then in June of that year, my godfather, my uncle, very close, died. And I've often referred to as the first nerd I knew. And someone that's just an example for me. Actually, the gaudy Zeus I have on my wall. Yeah. The picture up there right now is a picture of he and I in Cleveland, Ohio, when I was like 10 or 11 years old. That's the image I put on top of it for now. Sometimes I put like a little computer on top of it and other odds and ends, but that's the one that's been up there recently for a bit. Actually, to coincide with really, I guess almost 6 months starting this job working at NASA, which was like a very exciting thing for me. And it I don't know, I guess what's the word I'm looking at? Nostalgia. Like there's something addictive about nostalgia and that, you know, remembering that and sort of feeling as though I've I've gotten to where I wanted to be. Took a weird path to get there. So, yeah.
This is the first, like, we've toyed with having questions on the show many times in various different incarnations, and this is the first real question. I mean, not real. I mean, it's because you had questions,
and
we
had,
but like, this is the first sort of serious thing, and I don't know that we have come to a conclusion or any sort of answer.
I feel like I I'm not persuaded in any way, so there's that. You're right, there is no answer that we've come to here. I do think though that I am perfectly comfortable without answering it.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm just going on regardless.
Yeah,
it's funny though, because here I talked to someone and they were like, oh, because they were just like, between COVID and then just like island folk being island folk, they're like, it'll take like 5 years for you to make friends. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do we fast forward that though? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I'm still going out and doing stuff. Like I'm going to a book club later this month, but we'll see.
Is it a book that you like?
Well, you know what they did? It's put on by a bookstore that I like, this little indie bookstore. And what they did was choose a theme. Okay. So then everybody chooses a book that fits into the theme.
That's nice.
And then we're just going to go around a circle, talk about what we loved about our book.
It's more like it's a book club, but it's more like a mini book report class.
Yeah, I'm
social book reports.
I'm like, if I don't walk out with a friend, at least I'll walk out with some book recommendations.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's a Trojan horse approach. Like we're going to talk about this topic, and we're just going to disguise it in the theme of the book.
Well, I mean, that's sort of what clubs are. You know, I hear from afar in general, is just like an excuse to talk about things that maybe the book talked about, or maybe the book sort of skirted around. Mm-hmm. But it's important, I think, like the types of books that you read in that club or a club define sort of the tone, I think. So that would be the one thing that I would, because if it's not the sort of the type of thing that you want to be. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.